everyone.
Thank you very much for joining us. Welcome to the Board of Public Works hearing on school construction funding requests. We are here this morning to approve or disapprove the first 75% of the fiscal year 2018 capital improvement program, which totals $213 million. Our fiscal year 2018 capital budget provides for $334 million in total for school construction, and we're going to take 75% of that today. The state of Maryland has borrowed so much and racked up so much enormous debt that unfortunately we're now in a position, we're approaching the point where our debt service will soon exceed how much we're able to spend on school construction. So we're going to continue to practice fiscal responsibility, a more prudent borrowing policy, and it's why we're focused on finding cost savings in school construction so we can build more schools. And we want to seek alternative means for school construction in order to find value-added methods that can generate more bang for the buck in order to help meet the growing demands on both state and local dollars. We're really pleased that school superintendents and local officials from around the state have joined us today. We welcome you to Annapolis, and we look forward to having a constructive and productive conversation with all of you about your capital improvement programs. With that, Madam Treasurer or Mr. Comptroller, any remarks before we get started? Madam Treasurer?
I have something to say.
I figured you would.
Sure, I'm happy to go first. I just want to personally thank Governor Hogan for his staunch support of this review of school construction. All we're talking about, whatever you want to call this annual gathering, is more accountability and transparency and oversight of the taxpayers' money. And none of this would be happening if without the staunch support of the governor. And I want to say how grateful I am, because on behalf of the taxpayers, it means we have a voice for some of the communities that feel they don't have a voice. We have progress on issues such as air conditioning of schools. We have a new focus on school maintenance, taking care of the buildings that the taxpayers have paid for. I mean, we weren't even getting the annual reports under the previous governor. Now we're getting the reports, and we're taking action. So hats off to this gathering, and it's an important one. I hope it expands, and I hope everyone that appears today will take this in the spirit that certainly I look at it as, which is that of open government. And I think you'll see as the day goes on that enormous progress is being made in some of the areas I mentioned. So thank you very much. I'm delighted to, I don't know whether I'm delighted to be here for the next 6 hours, but...
come on, it's going to go faster.
Yeah, this is...
these guys are going to get right down to business.
Yeah, no, I'm very, very pleased that this Board of Public Works oversight has not been reduced.
After a rather heated discussion, actually 3 weeks ago, that I'm sure you
recall,
I too think that this has always been an opportunity to update the board and through the board the public on the accomplishments and the challenges that the school systems are meeting, the needs and the outstanding progress, as the comptroller pointed out, that has been made. Whenever I think of classrooms, I think of my mother, and my mother always said, "It's not what you say; it's the way that you say it." And I believe that too.
I believe that as well. Well, thank you. So, good morning, everybody. Up first is going to be Allegheny County. I think they came pretty far, but they get to go first on the agenda.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Governor Hogan, Comptroller Crenshaw, Treasurer Kopp. I'm David Cox, Superintendent of Schools in Allegheny County, and I'm joined here by Board President Laurie Marchini. We also have our Commission President, Mr. Jake Shade, in the audience, and Board Member Tammy Fraley, and our Director of Facilities, Mr. Vince Montana.
Well, you brought the whole team.
We did, and members of our legislative delegation, Senator Edwards, Delegates Buckle, McKay, and Beitzel, were planning to be here at 11:20 to support our request too, but so they may be coming
you're
in.
Too efficient around.
Okay. Well, we've been in touch with them. They will be on their way if their schedules will allow. But we just want to thank you for your continued support of our projects, and we have two that we wanted to speak about this morning and to share a little bit of information. We are asking for full support of second-year funding for Allegheny High School Replacement Project in the amount of $12 million, and then also for the Mount Savage Elementary and Middle School roof replacement in the amount of $873,000. As you know, we are replacing a 1926 high school, Allegheny High School. We think it's the oldest, maybe, or if not the oldest, one of the oldest continuously operating high schools in the state, and this is something that should have been done many years ago. We pledge to you that any public funds entrusted to us are going to, we're going to be good stewards of that, and I think the comptroller knows that, having awarded our system several Silver Hammer Awards and recognizing that we have some very old schools that are in very good shape. And so
even when you're not there to listen, he's brought you up a number of times.
Okay. Well, that's encouraging. And I did bring some family photos briefly to share with you to show you your tax dollars at work, too. This is the school that it doesn't quite look like that now because they have enclosed it in plastic now because they're pouring concrete. But I thought it would be better for you to see that than the plastic. And this is just another photo of the school going up with the stair tower that as it was being constructed. There are several others, and I think you have some at your place,
sure,
additional photos. But we wanted to thank you for your support, and we would entertain any questions that you would have for us. And Mr. Montana can speak to the technical aspects.
Well, I just want to congratulate you on moving forward. It looks like great progress being made. Obviously, this was one of the top priorities. I think it is the oldest school. I'm not positive about that. But you certainly did a good job maintaining it for all those years, but it's going to be exciting to see the new school. I don't have any questions. Anybody else?
Yeah, wasn't this school built during Franklin Roosevelt's first term?
Before
his first term.
It opened in 26, I think, the first 1925, and so it's been built onto five times, and we say there are three third floors, none of which connect to each other, so it's quite difficult to get around, and we have a lot of freshmen that get lost the first few days.
And the comptroller and I were both very young when it was built.
Yeah. But could I just ask about your success in holding down the cost of the new construction? What lessons do you have to give to fellow systems about significant cost reductions through value engineering, redesigning?
We did work very hard during design to value engineer as much as we could. And the first bid, as you know, came in over budget. We went back and worked collaboratively with our county government. They have lent us two of their engineers who've been a part of the design process all along. So we rolled up our sleeves, sharpened the pencils, and just worked very hard to do a lot of additional cost savings. I mean, I guess Mr. Montana can speak more specifically to that, but it was truly a collaborative effort with the firms that actually bid. We listened to their suggestions, what kind of design changes might lower the cost in a rebid. So
okay.
We
and
took all that information.
Quick question on phase two of the Mount Savage School roof replacement or improvement. That was installed in 1993. It's in poor condition despite good maintenance efforts. How many years are your roof replacements lasting? I know it's a tough climate out there, but
we look at, of course, we specify a 20-year warranty as required, but we look at 25 years, a 25-year life for the roof.
Okay, well, great. I am a big fan of your system and was delighted to come out and tour and happy to revisit you down the road. I do have a generic question that I'm going to ask most of the systems, and this is a little bit off script because it pertains to the politics of Washington right now with all the incendiary and intimidating comments about immigration that have been made over the last year or so. I understand that a lot of our children who are in our schools who may not have documents have been subjected to all sorts of concerns about whether or not they're going to be separated from their families or deported. And I'm wondering what the school system is doing to both protect its students from any bullying by other kids, and most importantly, what are you doing to prepare for whatever eventuality comes out? And I hope it's not a draconian executive order, et cetera, but you can never tell these days. So what are you doing to protect your kids, if any, that are in this situation?
Well, I think, you know, the Supreme Court has been pretty clear. I believe that the case Plyler v. Doe speaks to that, that we really are not allowed to ask for Social Security numbers and that sort of information. So our attitude is when kids come to us, our job is to teach them. In our county specifically, we don't have a lot of immigrant students. So that's really not a very significant issue in Allegheny County. But our pledge is every student that comes through our door, we try to do our very best to give them what they need to be successful.
I'll point out that Senator Edwards and Delegate Buckle just joined us. And we apologize for changing the time around on you, but looks like you're a lot of breath. You want to catch your breath there, Delegate?
Yeah.
Senator made you run over. Well, we were just saying some nice things about your school system, and we're excited about the new high school being built.
Thanks. Well, we appreciate that. Apologize for being late. Us talking to the press, so.
Oh, boy.
Sometimes you got to give them some answers.
I try to avoid that.
Sometimes you can't.
I like to focus on the work.
Well, we're here, and Dr. Buckles can say, to support the two projects, the police of Allegheny High School and the roof, I think, in Mount Saudi. They've done a great job. This school is much needed. You've been supportive in the past. And, yeah, I went up the steps kind of fast, too. So we ask you to continue to support what they're doing. They're doing a good job.
Senator, I understand you were in the very first class there in 1926.
Actually, not quite. I went to Grantsville Elementary School, but I did tour Allegheny, and I had to have a tour guide because I didn't know how to get from one part of the building to the other. You needed a map to get from one part to the other because of all the pieces that have been put together since 1926. So still uses coal, too.
Yeah.
One of the few places in the state still eats their coal. Coal in the school.
Four coal burning schools. Right.
Wow. I want to thank Senator Edwards for his leadership, and Delegate Buckle, maybe come on up and say a word.
Thank you. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I don't have any more to say other than to thank the members of the Board of Public Works, as I'm sure Dr. Cox and Ms. Marchini has indicated. This is an extremely important project for Allegheny County. This is one of the oldest, if not the oldest, operating school facility referring to Allegheny High School in the state. It is transformative for our county to have the support of the state and all the folks, the treasurer, the comptroller, and certainly the governor who supported the project. And we're extremely appreciative, the folks who live and work in Allegheny County, to have this school for the betterment of their children for decades and decades to come. So thank you.
The only bad part of this, Delegate, is that you've had these bragging rights about the oldest school.
Oldest school.
And now you're just going to have a new one like a bunch of other people.
That's right. Hopefully we'll have one of the best schools now. I'll take the switch. So thank you very much.
Thank you
for your continued support of the project.
You know, one of the youngest schools.
I have to say, Governor, it was because Senator Edwards some years ago started the discussion here about Allegheny and Garrett schools, where they were, what they were, what were needed, and introduced us all to them. I remember going out there some years ago, and I really think he deserves some public
acknowledgement.
We served on the same committee.
It was a while ago.
School construction back many years ago.
Well, I can tell you, long before I ever became governor, and back when no one ever thought I would be governor, he was lobbying me already about the need for this school replacement.
He's a great advocate. All your support.
Smart man.
Thank you all
thank
very
you.
Much.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you very
could
much.
I ask a quick question, though? Because I see these per square foot costs are going up, down, up, down. I see in 2016 it was $233 a square foot. This is overall $282 in 2017. And $265 a square foot. And this is not for your building. It's just for the school construction allocations. Do you guys experience a lot of competition among your contractors? And what was the square foot cost out there?
Well, let me do the first part of that, and I'll ask Vince to address the second part. One of the things is we don't probably have as many people bid on our projects because we don't have a lot of companies that are very close to us. So we do experience a little bit more cost because of the mobilization to come to do a project for us. So,
Mr. Controller, first I want to thank you for stopping at Allegheny. Wish we would have had better weather that day, but okay. You got the idea. No, we don't have a lot of local contractors of adequate size to do a project like this. So we're looking at Pennsylvania, three bidders from Pennsylvania, and only one from Frederick that bid on this job. So, and prices have increased. You talked earlier about cost, the escalation of cost, and we really began to control costs at the first design meeting with the architect. When we told the architect we couldn't afford to build a monument to them. That went over rather well, I'd say. But I hope we've hit the high point at around $300 a square foot and see those costs start coming down now.
No, that's very helpful information. I just want to hear from the IAC at some point about the square foot costs and make sure that communities like yours where there's not as much competition as some of the Washington area systems, that you're not getting given less money than you are going to need for some of these projects. So thank you for
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Thanks for coming down.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator and Delegate. Next up, we have Anne Arundel County, and I see County Executive Steve Hsu is here, along with representatives of the school system. Good morning.
Good morning, Governor Hogan, Treasurer Cott, Comptroller Francho. I'm George Arlotta, the Superintendent of Anne Arundel County Public Schools, and I'm pleased to be joined this morning by our Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Alex Shatnovich, as well as our County Executive, Mr. Steve Hsu, as well as members of our board and other members of our community in support of Anne Arundel County Public Schools. We'd like to thank the Board of Public Works, the IEC, and the Public School Construction Program staff for making prudent investments in support of our past and current capital improvement programs. We are here today to ask for your approval of the IAC's fiscal year 2018 funding recommendations for Anne Arundel County Public Schools and to advocate for our remaining projects that are awaiting approval. The mindful approach we have taken towards our FY 2018 capital budget and CIP integrates the plans for capital improvements and maintenance activities. It also reflects our educational mission, goals, and programs over the coming decade. We, along with our local government, are dedicated to and focused on strategic implementation of this balanced plan. To remain on task, we are requesting your continued support and funding approval for the following projects. Our first appeal is for funding of the three remaining FY18 systemic renovations, the balance of funding for roof replacement at Meade Middle School, and electrical systemic projects at Four Seasons and Broadneck Elementary Schools. Our systemic projects are the cornerstones of our CIP. Each funding request we receive extends the useful life of our facilities while allowing us to balance the resources that we have available. Next, we are appealing your local planning for a sixth classroom addition at Solly Elementary School. This attendance area is growing rapidly due to the increase in targeted residential construction, and we project a steady increase in enrollments as the developments continue to build out. We're asking for the balance of construction funding for Jessup Elementary School and first-year construction funding for Arnold Elementary School. Both projects were approved last year for local planning and are in the process of being bid. Additionally, we are appealing local planning approval and first-year construction funding for George Cromwell Elementary School. The design is on schedule, and we are anticipating a spring bid date. Also among our requests is local planning authority for Edgewater, Tyler Heights, and Richard Henry Lee Elementary Schools. The feasibility studies are complete, and the renovation option was approved by our board for all three schools. Design has commenced, and we will be submitting a final scope and budget once the schematic design is approved. Finally, we're asking for local planning authority and construction funding for a new Crofton area high school. This project was reviewed by the State Clearinghouse, and all outstanding issues are being addressed. We have begun the final phase of design and expect to have this project out to bid in the fall of 2017. On behalf of our more than 81,000 students, their parents, our employees, our Board of Education for Anne Arundel County, and the community that we serve, I thank you for the opportunity today to discuss our FY 2018 Capital Improvement Program and how it supports Anne Arundel County and the state of Maryland. Following remarks by our County Executive, Mr. Hsu, we'd be pleased to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you very much. Mr. County Executive, welcome.
Thank you, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Comptroller Franchot. Thank you for giving me this opportunity this morning. And before I get into my remarks, I just wanted to thank the Governor again for not only his leadership on this heroin crisis, but the very significant and important steps that you announced yesterday.
Well, and vice versa. I mean, you've been a real leader on this yourself, and I want to thank Anne Arundel County. It's done terrific. We're both in this fight together, as is every other jurisdiction across the country. So thank you for your help.
Thank you. We are, as Dr. Arlotta said, incredibly proud of our school system here in Anne Arundel County, and we want to do everything we can to make it a great school system in support of our 81,000 students. And I pledge that my administration will do everything it can to support our public school system, and I believe Dr. Arlotta and I have established a really strong working relationship that will enhance that effort. With regard to capital construction, the huge backlog is no secret. You've been hearing about it for a long time. I'm committed to accelerating school construction in Anne Arundel County. And as a demonstration of that commitment to these projects is the fact that we are forward funding projects in our capital budget and are utilizing 30-year bonds to finance our portion of these projects, thereby increasing the county's capacity to fund public school construction. Our county is planning to spend $1 billion over the next 10 years on school construction, including $650 million on high school construction. And as I think you're aware, we in Anne Arundel County have not built an incrementally new high school since 1982. We've replaced them, we've fixed them, but we've been stuck at 12 since 1982, so this is historic. The Crofton High School that the superintendent just mentioned, along with the incremental new Old Mill and West County High Schools, will keep us busy for about the next 10 years. I would recommend that the state consider a constitutional amendment to extend the maturity of its bonds for school construction. I believe the current 15-year limit is a straitjacket on school construction funding. Dr. Arlotto has laid out our school construction priorities very well. I'm proud to stand here today with Dr. Arlotto and his team and members of our school board. I know we are competing for scarce dollars across the state. Difficult decisions will have to be made. I was very pleased to see in your budget proposal, Governor, that you did set aside $290 million for school construction, and I think I heard in your introductory remarks that you had a little bit more maybe coming down the road, which is very exciting to hear. And my administration is committed to doing everything it can to maximize every dollar we receive. Our taxpayers deserve that, and that goes for school construction, and I appreciate your consideration of our requests.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Both of you, any questions?
Yeah, I just want to thank the county executive for being here, and obviously Dr. Arlotto and Mr. Shostakovich is a iconic figure in the my little universe of school maintenance, because he understands the values of all of that. I just wanted to comment that your CIP, Dr. Arlotto, looks very well balanced. I think you've got a range of systemic renovations as well as additions and new schools to accommodate what can only be described as surging enrollment. And kudos to you for being ahead of this. I'm particularly happy to see the inclusion of three of your older schools that had deficiencies noted in the recent maintenance reports. And I appreciate that. I see that Shadyside Elementary School will receive a kindergarten addition and open space conversion. How many more schools are there that are in this open space conversion?
So we have four that are remaining. So we had several dozen. We're down to four that still have open space. That we are either going to go through open space enclosures or that building will be under renovation and will happen at that time.
Excellent. And then I just want to thank the county executive again. You mentioned Severna Park High School. I've been a longtime advocate of the project. I think the community was very excited to tour the new facility, and I think it's going to be an exceptional learning facility as well as accommodating the increased enrollment. I think you're going from 1,800 to 2,141 students. And you mentioned Crofton. Is Crofton going to have Severna serve as a prototype, or is there something different that you're anticipating for Crofton?
Well, it's so as the county executive referenced, it is incrementally. It's going to be what our first brand new since the early 80s. We have recently renovated within the last several years Northeast High School, and then now we've rebuilt Severna Park. And so we've learned a lot through that process. High schools are very different, as you know, than middle schools and certainly elementary schools. So we've learned a lot through that process. The design will be very different in Crofton because of the topography of the piece of property. So we're going to be working on a fairly unique design that our board is seeing that we've taken out to the public just because of the topography. But we're very excited about the breaking ground on that project.
Great. And I'm the last person to bring up politics, but I commented earlier about the atmosphere surrounding some of the incendiary ideas about immigration, and I'm just curious as to what you or the county executive might be doing to protect any children in the Anne Arundel system that happen to lack documents. And please update me.
Certainly. I'll allow Mr. Hsu to speak for the county government. As far as the schools, I'll echo what my colleague from Allegheny County said. For us in Anne Arundel County, all means all. So I don't have, I'm not asking for documentation. As students enter our building, we register them as their residents within the county, and we're going to educate them. And so we are working, we have a number of bilingual facilitators in some of our high needs areas with many of our immigrant families, as the families and those children certainly are learning English. We've deployed a number of what we call bilingual facilitators out into the neighborhoods to meet with parents to reassure them that schools are a safe place to be. And we're going to continue. So in the budget that I've submitted or will be submitting to my school board and then hopefully to the county executive, we'll be asking for more of those folks. And they've really been help us calm the waters with our families because there is some fear in our neighborhoods and in our high needs neighborhoods. And so they've been able to calm some of those fears that schools are a safe place to be. And so that's how we're operating on a day-to-day basis.
The our administration believes that the United States should enforce its border laws, and we believe that citizenship should mean something in this country. We believe that local jurisdictions should cooperate with federal authorities in enforcing our immigration laws. That being said, I wholeheartedly support the policy of the school system. These young children from wherever they came are here. They're in our care, they have to be educated, and we have to provide for their health care needs. If they present themselves at one of our hospitals or any medical facility, any human being deserves to be cared for. So I support the policy, but I also very much support the current administration, the federal administration's approach to border control. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for Anne Arundel County?
I do have two questions, one of which just congratulations on all the great work you've done, including the great maintenance work. Looking at the maintenance report this year, after the state does the study, does it come to you for review and action?
It does indeed. I get the report, and I read through it, and then I meet with our facilities team.
And let me say, Alex has been a great help to all of us, most particularly right now on the School Construction Task Force.
Indeed.
When there are things like cluttered, this was not your county, but cluttered and therefore a safety hazard, do you then, or the school board then, just go out and look at it and unclutter it? Or I mean, that doesn't seem like real heavy lifting.
Yeah, no. So I am not. I'll admit that in front of this room. I'm not going out and looking at the clutter myself. I don't know that any of my school board members are looking at the clutter.
This was not your idea.
Right, right. To use that as an example, yes, ma'am. But certainly that's what Alex and his team are doing. So they're taking that report, and whether it is clutter or it is fire extinguisher logs that have not been completed in a timely fashion or appropriately, or ceiling tiles being replaced, are two of the ones that are common for us that we've seen in the last 2 years in the reports that I've read as a superintendent.
Everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just using those as examples, and that's what the team takes underway. They take that on,
that's
for us to correct
internally. That's what one would hope, but
that's
to
exactly
know that it really closes a loop.
Right. The report does us no good if we don't take action on it.
You said you would appreciate funding for some planning projects, and I assume some of that planning was in a B category because of insufficiency of funds. And if not this, some other planning projects, because, as I understand it, there's a longstanding concern on the part of the state that if you fund planning but you don't get to construction for some years, you have to redo the planning, it's out of date,
correct,
it's more expensive, et cetera. But if you're dealing with a situation where the local LEAs, in fact, are forward funding, I wouldn't think that would be such a barrier. Is that right? Or is that wrong?
If I could speak to that. What we try to do is just keep a lid on how much we are on the hook for, in a sense. So our list is roughly... about 500 million.
Yes.
We don't go up above that. But we evaluate every year. So, I mean, it fluctuates, and it is a philosophy that can change.
I understand that. I asked a specific question, Joan. If the county is going to do the construction pre-funding, and I understand that down the road they're going to seek reimbursement, but they want to get going because it will cost less than if they postpone it significantly.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there some way to take cognizance of that fact?
Well,
you were a local superintendent, Madam Superintendent.
Yes, Treasurer Cobb, I agree that we should look at being able to streamline some of these issues, and I think we will be doing that with going forward with our new director, and I think we'll hopefully come up with some very proactive, streamlined approaches to this process.
Thank you.
Great. I just have one small question. I noticed that the last two maintenance reports noted a maintenance staffing shortage, and I was just wondering how the school system is addressing that.
Well, it's a well-known fact. We're short some of our maintenance and facility staff. We have, as Mr. Franchot alluded to, we've had some significant enrollment increases over the last 6 years, almost about 1,000 students a year, about 763 this year, but almost 1,000 students a year. And so with the limited dollars that we've got, the money that we've got, we have to take, and my predecessors included, have had to take, and our board make some difficult decisions. When those dollars are there, those competing dollars, I'm putting money into the classrooms where the enrollment growth is, where I would like to add some maintenance and facility staff, certainly our custodians in our buildings I'd like to add. We have added some in last year's budget, but it is when I have those competing dollars, Governor Hogan, I'm putting the money into the classrooms.
Thank you very much. Any other questions?
Could I ask Alex to come up? Because your name's been mentioned a few times. This gentleman is a iconic figure in the area of school construction and maintenance. Please come and work for the state of Maryland if you ever get released from Anne Arundel County. But can you just help me understand the per square foot cost that, from a local perspective, of what you're seeing? Because I see that we're, I mentioned the up and down numbers of the per square foot average, and I'm just concerned that some of the regions will be left short as far as the estimate.
Certainly. Well, we have the great fortune, but also the byproduct of being located right down to right up and down the I-95 corridor. And as the economy recovers, there's a lot of construction activities going on, in particular in Anne Arundel County, with both the airport and the Fort Meade complex being situated right there. So we are fortunate that there is a good cadre of well-qualified, competent contractors, and yet with the volume of projects that are coming forward, there's a lot of competition for those resources. Unfortunately, going back in time, past 7-8 years, a lot of the contractors downsized or went out of business, et cetera. So now the economy is recovering a little bit ahead of the industry's ability to fill that, and we're feeling some of that effect. But Mr. Comptroller, we're obviously doing things to counter that. So things like continuing to aggressively utilize repeat designs. I think we're the leaders in the state in that, to try to curtail costs, speed up construction activities, eliminate change orders, et cetera. So we're doing everything without our powers, with our architects and engineers, to sort of be a counterforce against some of the market forces that we're currently feeling.
And how do you see the square foot cost for Severna versus the new high school at Crofton?
I actually think it's going to be a little bit lower in that we're doing a ground-up construction project there. Severna Park High School, obviously, we had to deal with the old 1953 structure, deconstructing the old stadium, creating a new stadium. So the cost will be lower because we're simply not dealing with the legacy facility there.
Okay, great. And the governor noted your maintenance reports. I really like the three superior ratings you got. Those are very difficult to get. And the fact that you've got three and then five good, that shows even with a reduced staff, you're doing most of the job. So keep up the good work.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for your support.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Baltimore City. Good morning.
Good morning. I want to say good morning to Governor Hogan, the Lieutenant Governor Rutherford, Treasurer Kopp, Comptroller Francho, State Superintendent Salmon, and members of the Governor's Cabinet. I just want to thank you for the opportunity to come today to discuss City Schools' 2018 capital improvement priorities. I am the Chief Executive Officer of Baltimore City Public Schools, Sonia Santelises. I first want to thank you for the current recommendation of $25.4 million for 18 projects for City Schools' 2018 Capital Improvement Program. I also think it's important to note that the district's overall 2018 request of $74 million only begins to address our true facilities needs. I would like to discuss the second round of funding recommendations for city schools. And my request also provides an overview of the improvements that we have made as city schools to better equip our facility staff for the management and maintenance of ongoing capital projects. First, city schools would like to ask your consideration, your additional consideration of 21 systemic renovation projects that were deferred, many of which carry a high priority for our district. I just want to point out three of those. We are requesting full funding for the roof structure and heating system projects at Furley Elementary School. These are essential to City School's plans to temporarily relocate Furley Elementary program to Thurgood Marshall, because that structure really does need some emergency repairs and structural safety improvements. Second, I would also like to request consideration of the deferred local planning request for the renovation and addition of Armistead Gardens. And this is really to address critical overcrowding in the southeast section of Baltimore. And then I would also like to just request consideration of our partially funded projects, because as many of you know, if a project's not fully funded, we will have to rescind that just based on the timeline and our local funding. We also really present this with the understanding that you will consider it in light of the larger costs that the state is facing. But I would like to share with you some of the strides the city schools has made in the past year. First, City Schools has a drafted plan to provide a 5-year plan to provide portable window units, air conditioning units in high schools without air conditioner currently, and split unit air conditioning systems to all elementary and elementary middle schools that are currently without air conditioning. The plan is contingent on the availability of the CIP funding that you have before you and the Board of Public Works approval of projects. As part of implementing the first phase of this plan in our FY18 CIP, we request the ability to use Baltimore City Schools contingency reserve funds for portable window units in high schools. Portable window units have always been part of our strategy just due to the cost and the size of our high schools. We also understand that heating is a challenge, and so we will just have to continue to address those concerns as part of our ongoing maintenance of those buildings. You'll also note that our plan provides split unit air conditioning systems in elementary and middle schools to address both heating and cooling concerns by also being able to provide supplemental heating. So we do know that, again, this plan will help us achieve this within 5 years totally. We would begin immediately. We have added this year, even with our limited funding, when I arrived in Baltimore City, we added air conditioning to 4 schools this year and, again, would begin the additional work immediately once approved. Based on the IAC 75% recommendation, $3.7 million is recommended for window unit projects for 6 high schools and 1 split unit AC system for Lakewood. I also do just want to point out in the spirit of transparency that we will be deferring critical projects like fire safety and roofs in order to implement the AC plan. But again, upon approval, we are committed to implementation. In terms of city schools.
So you're committed to implementation of what?
Of the plan.
The air conditioning.
Of the air conditioning.
Not of the fire safety.
Well, but the reality of our fire safety needs is that we will have to defer some of those projects in order to fully fund our air conditioning.
So we're very pleased to see that the city has come up with this plan for the window air conditioning units and the ductless split units. I think it's going to immediately help 300 classrooms in 7 different schools. Is that correct?
Yes.
I want to thank Mayor Pugh and the city schools and your efforts, Dr. Santelis, for your leadership on this and taking this action to bring this relief to these students. The request from the city is for $3.7 million. However, since the city has really taken seriously the advice of the Board of Public Works and made a real effort to try to correct and address this issue, I would like to... You could finish the rest of your presentation. I just want to jump in on this one.
Sure.
And
please.
I'm going to make a motion to release the entire $5 million in 2017 funds, which this board deferred from Baltimore City last May, so that you can spend that all towards this and the rest of your air conditioning plan, if possible, and maybe take care of some of those other maintenance issues that you had to defer. So if we do a motion now and then finish the discussion. Is that okay with you?
Can I say thank you before you make the motion, or should I wait until after?
Let's wait. So I just made a motion.
I'm happy to second it, and what a breath of fresh air.
Yeah,
really,
thank you very much
to come in and direct something that's going to, take it rather immediately, help the kids. We're talking about, the governor mentioned the 300 sweltering classrooms. That's going to provide climate relief for 7,200 students. And let me just ask a quick question about the anticipated timeline for installation. I see that the bids are going to go out in May. I'm hopeful that the cool air will be flowing by the time these 7,200 students return. for the new school year after Labor Day this year. Is that the anticipated timeline?
That is the anticipated timeline.
Well, you just,
and I had a great conversation last night. I met with the mayor, who's 100% supportive of this project and excited about it. And I leaked to her my secret plan for today, so she was thrilled with the additional $5 million.
I clearly went to bed too early.
Yeah, no, it didn't leak out. So
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, good.
Wanted to have the element of surprise. But so there's a motion
could I
on
just
the.
Say this is yeah. This is a motion which I am delighted to join you. I think it was a mistake to hold it up in the first place, but obviously we're getting where
progress.
People want with the understanding.
Yeah.
That we're not going to be ignoring fire safety. I find it difficult to believe that it's legal to stand there and say we're going to do fire safety correction. We're going to do something else instead. So I hope it incorporates that.
So Treasurer Cobb, the transparency was to note that there are fire safety projects, right, that we would have been able to do clearly sooner. That will be put off, but I would never stand for keeping city school students in unsafe conditions. But it does mean that there will be a deferral. For some projects that are on a routine basis, we monitor them regularly, and it just means that it will take some of those longer. But in any situation, and again, Furley is close to that, we take the necessary actions when there's immediate threat. But it does mean that there will be a delay in the cycle of the projects that we would be addressing.
Maybe with this additional funding released today from last year, the $5 million, you may be able to speed them up.
Sure, and I'm more than happy to get back to you all on what that looks like based on
I think that would be very helpful, because if I were a parent reading that we're postponing fire safety,
I understand.
That would not, in Montgomery County, we'd have for the courts.
So there's a motion on the floor that's been seconded, and that's to release $5 million to the city of Baltimore and thank them for their great work on this air conditioning plan. There's a second. Is all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. 3-0. Sorry to interrupt your presentation, but
no, not at all. Thank you.
Probably worth it for the $5 million.
No. And I would just like to say thank you on behalf. We have two of our school board commissioners, Berkeley and Commissioner Chinnia, here on behalf of the mayor and the city of Baltimore. I want to thank you for that.
Thank you, Mr. Scroggins, right behind you there, or not?
Yes, he is. Would you like to speak to him directly? Absolutely.
Please.
He was hiding behind you. I didn't even know you were there.
Yes. So, Mr. Scroggins, could you just help me with where this leaves us as far as the Baltimore City Schools, the action we just took, as far as the window air conditioning units or split systems? How many, again, have been put in over the last year? The last figure I have is 1,940 classrooms that need either heat or air conditioning. Where does this... what's happened in the last year, and where are we with the action we took today?
Well, we have completed this year 4 schools. I don't have the exact number of classrooms for those schools, but we each year are making progress in putting in air conditioning in schools. This action, you know, particularly helps us because there are a lot of important projects that were put on hold. Although we've tried to, you know, gradually work on them, put out the design, just in case that money was released, we were certainly hoping that that would happen, and we're very pleased that it is. But it allows us to really complete some very important projects that have been in the planning stages for quite some time.
Excellent. And I noticed, I read in the paper some time ago that the New Era Academy in Cherry Hill, it was visited by Senator Bill Ferguson, I think, July of 2015, and within 2 weeks, 32 window air conditioning units were installed in his school. Are you going to, I guess that was due to the fact you had some air conditioners there, but are you going to take care of the other 7 classrooms in the senator's school?
Absolutely.
With, is this the alcohol tax funds you're going to use or the funds we just released?
Probably just from the general funds, which is where the funding came for the other window air conditioners.
Okay. And then just once again, because you've been on the front lines of this maintenance issue, I'm very pleased to see that after having 8 schools rated not adequate 2 years in a row, the number of schools with that rating dropped to 3 in the fiscal year 16 inspection. So congratulations for making progress. Only 5 schools earned good ratings in fiscal year 14 and 15 combined. Only 5 got good ratings, and you've got 9 receiving a good rating in fiscal year 16 alone. So congratulations on that trend, and I hope anything we can do or I can do at the board to support that focus, I guess, on maintenance, I salute you. And then quickly, Madam Superintendent. Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to indicate that of the 3 schools, one of those schools has already been closed. It's part of our 21st century project, so that's being rebuilt at this time. Another one is scheduled to be closed in a year and a half when Forest Park is completed. And the final school, at this particular point, it's underutilized. We are looking to decide what will be done with that school. It was built in 1926, but we are, you know, making every effort to maintain that building properly.
I see the city council president just joined us. You come up,
hey,
and,
Jack,
come up and say a word.
You want to come up and say anything, or just come in? We're just happy to have the president of the city council with us.
Good morning, honorable board members. I'm Council President Jack Young from Baltimore City. And, you know, we have a lot of challenges in Baltimore City with our school system and all the assistance and all the help you can give us. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jack.
One of your colleagues is here, I think, Jack.
Do you want to say anything, or you? Thank you both for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak. I'm here on behalf of the Baltimore City Public School System as a former educator and just wanting to share the importance of the help that we need in our city. And thank you so much, Governor Hogan, for what you are doing, but we need a continuation of a lot of stuff. So please listen to our school leaders and try to assist and help the best way you can.
Certainly will. Thank you very much.
Still trying to catch my breath from the steps.
You did pretty good for running up there. You know, Anne Arundel County was just up just before you, and last year they did a tremendous job with this air conditioning situation. You know, they went switched to these kind of units. And they were able to speed up their time frame by like 7 years and fix all their schools in 1 year. It was cost efficient, both for the installation and for the monthly cost, and they're thrilled that they did it. So they offered to provide assistance to both you and to Baltimore County. If there were any questions, they have real expertise, and they did the entire school system. So if you want, I'm sure they'd love to provide any advice or assistance. But we really appreciate the effort, and I don't have any further questions.
Just had a quick question, if I could, about the 21st century schools.
Yes.
I understand that the Stadium Authority is moving forward, and it's a large $1.1 billion project. What is the transition plan from Stadium Authority to city management once we approach the timing for occupancy?
So I just want to make sure, Comptroller Francho, that I understand fully. Do you mean once the buildings are built in terms of the maintenance of the buildings? Is that the oversight that you're referencing?
Yeah. Are you going to take over maintenance and oversight immediately, or is there some kind of phase-in that you're negotiating with the Stadium Authority?
No, we assume, and I'm just looking at Mignon, but no, we assume that oversight in terms of maintenance as soon as the buildings are complete. So we have our first two new buildings opening this summer that we're very, very excited about. The community is excited, but we are preparing and have prepared even budget-wise to assume that cost, both in terms of fiscally as well as staff responsibility.
Great. And then I just have a quick question about the politics of immigration, which I understand it's very uncertain what's going to happen. But I just wanted to hear from you as to the city school system, and perhaps the council president could say a word about the local elected officials. What is it that we're doing if something draconian arrives? Are we going to be able to provide protection for our kids who innocently may be lacking documents?
Yes. So, again, you know, as a number of my superintendent colleagues have said before, we do not require, you know, any citizenship documentation to serve young people. We have a long history of working with local community partners to make sure that we are linking our families, our recently arrived families together. And I, frankly, I think it was 2 days after our national election when some of our immigrant community was feeling very uneasy. At that next board meeting, I declared publicly, made it as part of my statement, that we would make sure that our young people are safe, that they are cared for, and that they that our schools will remain open to all as we are charged to do. But I, in terms of the school system, but I will turn over to Council President.
There you go.
So, Jack, the question is, who knows what's going to come out of Washington on immigration, but a lot of the language during the campaign was very draconian, incendiary, intimidating, and it scared a lot of people. So I'm just curious as to your approach. Should something negative come out of Washington next week or this week, concerning these innocent kids who are here, the lacking documents, is the city prepared to step up and protect them, as I think everybody thinks you should, from having their families torn apart?
Well, I'm sure that we will work with our Baltimore City Public School System to ensure that our children, she's already stated what she put in her address, and we believe that we have the necessary documentation for most of our kids in our schools. And if they don't have it, we're going to try to work hard to make sure that they get it. Like you said, they're innocent kids. They were born here, most of them. So as far as I'm concerned, they're citizens of the United States of America, plus they're residents of Baltimore City. So with Baltimore City being a sanctuary city, I think the protection is right there for all of our immigrants who does not have legal documentation.
Great, and I don't want to end on a concerned point about that. I want to thank you and thank the mayor and thank the other elected officials in Baltimore City for coming forward with a reasonable response on the inhumane conditions that a lot of kids suffer in these classrooms due to lack of air conditioning. And I want to just applaud everyone involved for making a big improvement. And I particularly want to thank, once again, Governor Hogan, because none of this would happen if, frankly, there weren't two of us sitting here on the board that are demanding that it happen. And I think it's the right direction. So kudos to Baltimore City.
Okay, if I might respond. As you all know, that it's mandated by the state for us to close schools. And keep in mind, when we're talking about air conditioning, that we're not talking about putting air conditioning in schools that are slated for closure. And also, I'd like to work with the governor and yourself and the rest of the board members, because when we are mandated to close schools, they have bond debt on it that we have to repay. And Baltimore City being a poor city, we would like you all to consider, you know, forgiving those bonds. Thank you.
Thank you.
I actually, just to come back to, well, Jack, I think probably in the end, the question was the city, the closures, and at some point, if you could give us some sort of progress report on where you are in terms of school closures. Yeah, so I'm a big, I know how difficult it is. We went through this several times, but to the extent that you can move kids into a school that is not underutilized, you can provide a much better education at less cost.
No.
So I think that would be very helpful.
No, and we can definitely, Treasurer Kopp, provide you with a more detailed report on that. But just so that you know, City Schools is actually ahead of schedule in school closings, and the investment that the state has made in 21st century schools has allowed us to close schools, but then be able to provide families and children with new buildings. So we're actually a bit ahead of schedule.
That's super. That's super. I would, and the other thing is, and I think it is council and the mayor, following up on the comptroller's issue, there are going to be a lot of families in Maryland, not just in the city, who are going to be split apart. The children are citizens. The parents are not. And the question is how we are prepared to deal with the children who will be our children. Not just in education.
I would hesitate to speculate
on
what might happen.
Yeah.
And why don't we wait and see what actually
absolutely.
Really is going to happen.
But there will be a speech today.
The latest stuff that we heard was that they were solely going to focus on people with past criminal, multiple criminal records. And so it's not like we know the families are going to be torn apart.
We don't.
It's only going to be a small...
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
well, I just want to know
I understand
that
the concern, and I share the concerns, but I don't want to spend all day talking about something that might never happen, and that's not really, you know, it's just all speculation, and I like to focus on actually the school systems and what we're doing here.
Well, Madam Treasurer, we're prepared to protect our children.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Now we're on to Calvert County, or Calvert County, depending on how long you've been there. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. It's Baltimore County. I certainly did not mean to exceed. I got Baltimore City and Baltimore County confused on my notes, but we're happy to have you here, Baltimore County.
Thank you, Mr. Governor. Kyle Merler, Francho, Treasurer Kopp, members of the Board of Public Works, and to the IAC, Dr. Karen Sam, and our state superintendent, members of the Governor's Cabinet. Thank you so much for the opportunity to come and just talk a little bit about Baltimore County Public Schools. But if I may take a moment of personal privilege and just share with you news that you heard yesterday, the Maryland State Department of Education announced that Baltimore County has a nearly 90% graduation rate, the highest graduation rate in history, and gaps are closing. And particularly what I'm most proud of, and it goes to the comptroller's last question, African-American students and white students in Baltimore County statistically have no achievement gap when it comes to graduation. So thank you for your support to our state superintendent and to this board for your funding of education in Maryland.
That deserves a round of applause, I think.
I sent a message to our team yesterday. I'm here delivering that news, but we have some dynamic members of Team BCPS. But thank you for your support for education in the state of Maryland. I am here to talk about our fiscal year 18 capital improvement budget for Baltimore County Public Schools, which is a pretty ambitious budget, and we completely understand it. But it does have three priorities that are priorities for everyone within this room. First, the installation of air conditioning in Baltimore County Public Schools. We have 173 school centers and programs. When I began the job just a little bit less than 5 years ago, we had 68 schools that did not have air conditioning. I'm excited to say that at the end of 5 years of my tenure, that number will be down to 13, Mr. Governor, Mr. Comptroller, and Madam Treasurer. We do have a plan that's in front of the Board of Public Works already that will get that number from 13 ultimately down to 3 and ultimately down to 0 in less than 4 years. So thank you for your support of that. It also looks at looking at overcrowding within our school system. We do have overcrowding in our school system where we're projecting about 1,000 students every single year, including another 1,000 students next year. So the budget that's in front of you right now does particularly target the northeast area of our school system, where with this budget we will be adding roughly around 1,100 seats with the new elementary school for Victory Villa, which is a replacement school that allows it to get air conditioning, but also looks at how do we balance enrollment, but also a new 700-seat elementary school in the northeast area as well, too. This budget also has replacement schools for the southeast area of our county, looking at a replacement for Dundalk and Berkshire Elementary Schools. Again, adding air conditioning, but adding seats as well. This budget in front of you also tackles four high school projects, and I should say it's six high school projects. Two of those projects are air conditioning projects, but we're looking at four that are renovation projects: Woodlawn High School, Patapsco High School, Lansdowne High School, and Delaney High School. And I'm joined here today by a member of our board, but also advocates from the Delaney High School community who've been working with us, not just on Delaney High School, but on capital improvement projects around Baltimore County Public Schools. And last thing, it does look at the modernization of our facilities as well, too. So with the support of this board, we will be able to tackle air conditioning projects within our county. Again, ultimately getting that number to zero, which is what we all want. Looks at overcrowding within our school system, but also modernizing our facilities. So with that, with the Board of Public Works, I will take any questions on Baltimore County Public Schools Capital Improvement Project budget for FY18.
Well, thank you very much for the presentation. Congratulations on that. Those are terrific numbers.
Thank you, Mr. Governor. Thank you for your support.
Achievement gap and being at 90%.
Nearly 90%, 89.2.
Okay, well, nearly. That's, that's your entire team should be congratulated, and thank you for your efforts. Baltimore County's request for preliminary allocation includes $21 million, I guess, for state funding for air conditioning and projects in 12 schools, as you mentioned.
Yes, sir.
We really are pleased that the county is focused on this and we appreciate you, you know, taking this issue seriously. Yeah, and you, that you're working on installing air conditioning to try to get students out of these sweltering conditions. We also appreciate the fact that we've been getting more information to the board, which we've been requesting for a long time, which is helpful. We appreciate that as well. I know that the week after this board took action on this issue to make air conditioning a priority, a decision was made by the system to spend $20 million out of the county's nearly $70 million surplus, this county school system, to accelerate the air conditioning projects, which is terrific. And we applaud you for that. But unfortunately, it sounds like, even with these really positive steps, and we want to commend you for them, that more than 13,000 students will still be left without air conditioning for the next several years, and you know, many of which won't get cooling until 2020 or 21. And you know, there are two schools with no plan whatsoever for air conditioning at all, ever. I mean, maybe that's because their schools are being torn down. I'm not sure. But first, you know, congratulations on the efforts. Congratulations on the investment and speeding up the process and your request to us, which I think, you know, I'm inclined to want to support. The only question I have is, are there any plans or could you consider other plans for speeding up the relief for those additional schools and students so they don't have to wait 4 years?
Absolutely. And Mr. Governor, before I begin, let me just say a special thank you to the IEC. The members of the IEC allowed us a waiver that allowed us to bid projects so we could actually accelerate even faster. So I'm excited that out of the air conditioning projects we have right now, we are actually on schedule, matter of fact, 2 to 3 weeks ahead of schedule and under budget for those projects. So thank you to the members of the IEC for allowing us that waiver. I will tell you, and I can follow back up with this board in terms of the actual number of students in those 13 schools that will begin the 17-18 school year. However, taking a very similar approach to what the city did, what we wanted to do is tackle overcrowding and air conditioning at the same time. So if you think about Dundalk Elementary School, Berkshire Elementary School, and Colgate Elementary School, those are three of our elementary schools in the southeast area of our county that do not have air conditioning, but as opposed to putting air conditioning in them, we're doing replacement schools for them. We also are tackling the fact that Dundalk Elementary School will go first, followed by Berkshire, followed by Colgate. So we're using our funds that way, Mr. Governor, so to make sure that we can accelerate our projects within fiscally responsible reasons, but also balance the fact we want replacement schools for their communities, too.
That makes total sense. But are there ones that aren't slated to be replaced that are still waiting until 2020 or 21?
The ones that are not slated to be replaced, they're going to be in our FY19 capital budget. So those will be right on target right after that one. That goes to our 13 to 3, ultimately to 0 school. So we have balanced out our schedule to make sure that we can tackle those that we know are sort of low-hanging fruit, followed by our high school. If we look at our high school projects, and again, the four high schools that are renovation projects that are in front of you, followed by Kenwood and Franklin High School, we know those are going to take 2 years because we're installing air conditioning in large high schools. But over the next 3 years, you would see that list go to 3, and then ultimately those 3 replacement elementary schools.
Great. Well, I want to thank you for addressing our concerns, and you know, I'm still concerned about the health of these 8,400 students and 561 teachers in those schools that have to wait. I'd like to see if you can't find a way to speed that up, as other jurisdictions have done, but we do congratulate you on the effort. So, number one, I'm going to support you on the $21 million. I'm also going to make a motion that we release $5 million dollars that we had withheld because of the great efforts you've been making to help pay for that in addition. And would love to have you come back with a plan before our May meeting when we do the rest of the thing to see if we can't address it with additional funds and releasing the other $5 million. If we can take care of those other 8,400 students, maybe with window or split units like we've done in Baltimore City and Anne Arundel County and most other places around the state. So they don't have to wait for 4 years,
yes,
and we'll release the rest of the money. But I'm making a motion that we release the $5 million today. Is there a second?
Yeah. No, I second that, and I applaud the governor once again for moving the ball forward on this. Appreciate the work that you've done, Mr. Superintendent. But the fact that there are 8,400 students, 561 teachers, and 320 classrooms are going to be left without climate control year after year after year. I started this issue with Baltimore County 6 years ago, and the solution was right in front of everybody's nose then, which is put window air conditioning units in. and provide immediate relief. And all we got was a lot of foot dragging and stuff, and now we've got you with this plan. Believe me, I'm going to be all over this plan because I question, frankly, some of the reality of making these 21 school renovation projects that you've got moving forward in the short term. But I'll support the $5 million give back on good faith. But to get the other $5 million, you've got to produce a plan to bring immediate relief to these thousands of kids. And if you could please focus on the kids and realize that a year, 2 years, 3 years, possibly 4 years without climate control is inhumane. And I'm delighted to join the governor in giving some back here. But this is, and I know this should be a victory lap, I guess, but I'm walking around the victory lap because I'm concerned for the kids that are left out. And the governor mentioned your own statistics, but are you planning to close Campfield Early Learning Center or Catonsville Center?
Within our Schools for Our Future program, we are looking at how we redistribute those seats throughout our county. Campfield is a school that has pre-K through kindergarten. I've always been wanting to get students within one transition, of course, and I have to do two. Catonsville Alternative School is an alternative school that we have in our school system that we're looking at doing the same thing in terms of combining with other programs.
Okay. And I see Delaney Lansdowne, Patapsco, Woodlawn did not qualify for state funding last year because feasibility studies were incomplete. This year they're not high priority projects. Patapsco's at 18, Delaney's at 25. The Lansdowne community tells me that their school continues this, and this is why I've got some concerns about your plans. The Lansdowne community tells me their school continues to sink into a pond, while the geotechnical study that was supposed to carry on for 6 months was cut short at two. I've heard concerns from the Delaney community. They strongly prefer a replacement facility because they don't think the renovation plans address many of the school's structural and mechanical deficiencies. So I guess I have some healthy skepticism as to whether the plan is going to work, but I think the governor is making a very good proposal. I'm happy to second it and support it, but I think the jury's still out on whether Baltimore County can do what it promises and what it should do for these kids that are currently not covered.
And Mr. Comptroller,
I'm going to hope that they do, and I'm a trust but verify guy. So,
I appreciate that. And I will tell you, we did present to our board last night, Mr. Comptroller, information on Lansdowne High School. We did have the architects from Rubling and Associates come out to, and they did a geotechnical study of Lansdowne High School. This is all available on our website that basically shows the school is not sinking into the pond. The IEC does have that information. We've shared it with them, but that is posted on our website.
Did they cut it off at 2 months?
No, it was a 6-month study, sir. They have been studying it since May. And then for the Delaney community, and really for all four of our high schools, we posted again on our website.
Hold off 1 second because there's a motion on the floor.
Okay,
thank you.
To give you $5 million today.
And we would like that.
And focus solely on air conditioning, and then we'll.
Unless you want to change that to 10.
The other issue. Yeah. So that's been motion is seconded, and is there a vote on it?
I do support it. I take whatever I can get. I think it should be 10 also.
Well, I want to do it as well. So I believe if you can, as the comptroller and I've talked, come up with some way, as the other jurisdictions have, to speed up, not the ones that are closing, but those other schools that are going to have to wait for 4 years, a way to get this done. And we have another round coming up in May.
And by
then, we have another meeting with
the 13
May,
schools
in
the plan.
We can come back and say, maybe we can find a way to take care of these 561 teachers and these 8,000 kids, and then we'll release the rest of the money.
Yes, sir.
In fact, look to Baltimore City. I mean, they gave excellent
Grand
testimony.
Randolph County, who did their entire school system that way, and is very pleased with the cost savings and the fact that they sped up their program by, I think, 6 or 7 years.
And I appreciate it. And I just heard my colleague from the city, who and I have a really solid relationship, and I know that their plan is 5 years. We will complete this in 4. Yes, sir.
Great. Thank you. There are other questions other than that motion. That motion's passed 3-0. Other topics or issues, and I know we have a couple of people signed up to speak as well, but
okay, let me have a quick question about Patapsco, because despite worsening overcrowding of the school, They've got 9 trailers, I think, there over the past 15 years. So Patapsco was 165 students over capacity. Rapid growth is projected. Is an addition being considered, and how is the overcrowding issue being addressed?
A very good question, Mr. Comptroller. An addition within this budget is not being considered for Patapsco High School. I am reviewing all of our high school projections in Baltimore County right now, and looking at our preliminary draft that we'll release probably within the next 3 weeks. We're going to be looking at all of our high schools except for 5 at or above capacity within the next 5 years. And so what I'm going to be anticipating doing starting this summer is having community conversations with all of our high school communities and presenting to our county executive and county administration a plan to address high school enrollment overall. Because the biggest concern in Baltimore County for high school seats right now is Towson High School.
Okay, and I brought up concerns last year about renovation projects being too limited. What about Woodlawn Middle School? 2010 renovation was characterized as excessively limited despite costing $20 million. Are you weighing the long-term costs and benefits of these renovations given the limitations that are being talked about?
So if we go back to the 4 high school projects we have on our FY18 capital improvement program, we've actually compared those projects to some of the projects we've done at Hereford High School and Pikesville High School within our county. We've done side-by-side comparisons, and even though it's listed on our request as a limited renovation, I've been able to work with our county administration and say we're going to fully fund everything that's in the feasibility study. Those 4 bids are out right now. When they come back, we anticipate having conversations to figure out what's the best alternative going forward, whether it's to continue with the renovation or to make an alternate decision. But I think that is going to be driven, Mr. Comptroller, by the market, and then having a critical decision to make whether you do a renovation versus something else.
Okay, and so Lansdowne Middle School and Sparrows Point Middle School that got renovations in 2008 and 2009 now apparently are only receiving adequate ratings with multiple categories rated not adequate. So you're looking at the long-term costs situation with pluses and minuses. Thank you, and congratulations on getting half a loaf, I guess.
Thank you to the members of the board.
I would say thank you for all of your efforts, and congratulations on the great scores and on all the progress that you're making.
Thank you, Mr. Governor. Thank you, Mr. Comptroller. Madam
thank you.
Just one question, Dr.
Yes, ma'am.
First of all, congratulations also on all of the great work you've done. My understanding is that the county's project for the ones $0.3 billion and going forward with the central air conditioning on all these other schools is going to some extent be forward funded by the county.
Yes, the county has forward funded roughly $166 million for these projects.
And that's on the assumption that you will be
reimbursed by the state, yes, ma'am.
And what sort of assurances have you been given?
We have a very close relationship with the IAC. As those projects become completed and we submit future year requests, we work directly with them to seek that reimbursement when possible.
All right. Just so it's understood.
Just so you know, the IAC simply makes recommendations.
Right.
And yes, sir.
We make the decisions. And we appreciate you tapping into your surplus.
So, Dr. Dance, you mentioned your – I think you made some statements after the election about immigration and the concern you had with your students. Is that – you heard my question to the other systems.
Yes, sir. And similar to my colleagues, and I think everyone who knows me knows I represent this, but we will make sure that every single kid, regardless of race, gender, or ethnicity in Baltimore County, they feel safe, secure, and we can support our communities with whatever concerns they may have.
Excellent. Great. Thank you very much. And now we have a couple of speakers, if they're still here. We have Yara Sheikh, who's a Delaney High School parent. Am I saying that right? She here? I guess it's afternoon now. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Treasurer Kopp, Governor Hogan, and Comptroller Franchot for the opportunity to speak. If I can get this to turn. Okay. My name is Yara Sheikh, and I'm on the League of Women Voters Baltimore County Education Committee and the proud mother of 4 students in the Baltimore County public school system. But before I begin, I want to add a personal note of thanks to the comptroller. As the child of immigrants, I appreciate the concern I'm hearing today for all our student population. Thank you. When I began advocating for school construction dollars over a decade ago, our school system was the second oldest school system in the state. Less than 50% of our schools were not air conditioned. We had aging infrastructure and overcrowded schools. Today, we've air-conditioned schools at an unprecedented rate, built and renovated schools for overcrowded schools in the Northwest, Central, and Southwest areas. While there is more to do, we have made tremendous progress. By the state's measure, we now have the sixth oldest school system in the state. Much of this success is due to Baltimore County leadership and their commitment to funding school construction and our school system for requesting relief and developing long-term planning. I'm very grateful for Baltimore County's investment. I must add, much of this is also due to our comptroller's diligent efforts to highlight critical infrastructure needs across our county. I know personally he has been instrumental in bringing projects like renovations to Hampton Elementary, Stoneley Elementary, our new West Towson Elementary to completion, and most recently drawing attention to the needs of Delaney High School. Thank you. I'm here today to discuss the high school renovations on the current capital improvement plan submitted by Baltimore County Public Schools. While we have made progress, we need to consider what surrounding counties are doing. This year, Severna Park High School opens in Anne Arundel County, and Howard County just opened a net zero energy efficient middle school. As the IAC has stated, Baltimore County has utilized limited renovations for schools in order to address the crisis that our system faced in terms of overcrowding and non-air conditioned schools. But now is the time to reconsider the use of limited renovations. As the IAC has stated, this has kept our system from having schools in good and superior status in our inventory. And while comprehensive renovations often meet the infrastructure needs of schools, this is not the case for Delaney High School. BCPS has judged the Delaney High School renovation to cost $45 million in its IAC application and is waiting for bids. This is a cost of less than $183 a square foot. As you may know, the most recent renovation at Pikesville High School and Hereford High School, both of which are smaller than Delaney High School by over 800 and 600 students, cost $50 million and $51 million, respectively. The breakdown of cost was $308 a square foot for Pikesville High School and $272 a square foot for Hereford High School. This clear inequity of funding is generating significant concern within the Delaney community. We're almost double the size of those other two high schools. Furthermore, the estimated cost of air conditioning Delaney High School is $19 million, almost half the cost of the entire renovation. Delaney High School is in dire condition. A limited renovation will not meet the needs of our students. As we move forward, we must address the needs of our high schools and replace our 60-year-plus high schools when necessary. It is the economically responsible measure. As we move forward to work with the Baltimore County Administration and BCPS, we ask that you consider the considerable need of our high schools and advocate with us for replacement high schools when necessary. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Lily Rowe, the Baltimore County parent. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I would first like to thank the Board of Public Works for having excellent constituency services, both with your office staff and with allowing members of the public with as little as one email to be able to be put on the agenda to speak before the Board of Public Works. I've come a number of times, and I'm very pleased with the ease of which this is done. And I'm also very happy with all of the questions I've heard thus far, and that they're very poignant and they address some of the questions that we as parents have been asking the school system, which the school system seems reluctant to answer or simply stonewalls us and doesn't really properly answer the questions. So one of the things that I'd like to address, a couple things, is that you continue to supervise the installation of air conditioning in Baltimore County and ensure that it actually happens. The plan is very aggressive, and in some cases, we're not told whether design work is even complete. And it's one thing for the school system to say we're on schedule, but when asked for details by the Board of Education, those details are not provided. The Board of Education has asked for a list of schools also that have had air conditioning installed, but that air conditioning is non-functional, either intermittently or permanently, or that there's HVAC systems. Like today, I received an instant message from parents at Baltimore Highlands that they have no heat today. And this seems to be a frequently occurring thing where my Facebook group for Baltimore County Facilities of over 3,000 members gets a lot of activity surrounding schools that have installation of AC, but the AC is not functional and they're not included in the heat closure policy for Baltimore County Public Schools, and the school system has not released information about which schools have non-functioning AC. Based on crowdsourcing, it may be as many as 30. So if there's anything that you can do to help to obtain the data for parents and the Baltimore County Board of Education, I would really appreciate that information. I'm also very concerned, and many people in our group are very concerned, about the renovations for the four high schools. These four high schools are well into their replacement life cycle, where any money put into them is pretty much a waste. And it is money that will have to be re-spent because these schools do need to be replaced. Lansdowne High School has 7 different level changes and is overcrowded. And narrowing the hallways in order to make it ADA compliant is going to constrict the hallways, which is both a safety issue for students, and I don't know how children in wheelchairs are going to be able to use restricted capacity hallways, ramps over 7 different level changes and 2 separate elevators to get to class on time, and they will miss instruction time leaving classes early and coming back to classes late. In addition, the GEO survey said that while the school is not sinking directly into the pond, it is sinking. And when you have a school that is sinking and it's within 15 feet of a body of water, it does stand to reason that since water does diffuse through soil, that that school will continue to take on water. And I don't appreciate the very technical ways in which the school system is attempting to avoid full transparency and accountability through their manipulative use of data and actually giving the public the correct interpretation of the situation. Because these four high schools are the worst high schools in Baltimore County. It would be a vast inequity not to rebuild these high schools and to spend almost 50% of the cost on renovations, only to then have high schools that are in better condition in some cases, but overcrowded, get brand new schools, simply because of the overcrowding. And to have 21st century schools means more than air conditioning, HVAC, and wiring. It's important that these schools actually be well maintained. And there comes a point in the life cycle where the school system decides that the cost of maintenance is too high on the school and they just really slow down what they're doing because they know in the future they're going to put money into renovations. And the poorer condition the school is, the more likely they feel they are to get money and state funding and whatever. And I would really like to see from the IAC more stringent standards on these maintenance audits that they do. For instance, Reisterstown Elementary and several other schools have had sewage floods because the sewage backs up through the bathrooms and into the hallways and into a kindergarten classroom. And I was informed by BCPS facilities, parents, and janitorial staff that they do not use disinfectant in those schools at all and are not permitted to, and teachers are not permitted to. That's one thing to use a cleaner. It's another thing to have feces saturating kindergarten classroom rugs, and you do not use any disinfectant that would kill any of the viruses or anything contained in feces. And an entire day, Reisterstown Elementary School parents and parents were not informed that for the entire day their students could not wash their hands or flush the toilets. So these are the kinds of problems that get covered up that the Baltimore County Board of Education is not able to get accountability from the school system because the school system simply does not answer questions they don't really want to answer, or they answer them in a way that's incomplete or not supported by documentation or parent experiences. And I would like to see that if the IEC is doing these maintenance audits of the schools, that perhaps it might be a good idea to require documentation of all maintenance work orders that have been requested by the schools to the school system that have not been completed. Because this is also something that parents don't have access to, is work orders that are incomplete. And I know that schools submit these work orders, but that does not necessarily mean that they're being fulfilled or fulfilled in a timely fashion. And when you have schools that have sewer backups and plumbing problems in non-potable water, and these are recurrent problems, this is an indication that these schools need to be torn down and replaced. And in the four high schools, these are all problems in these high schools. And these high schools are being given limited renovations that will not address all these problems, which means that these high schools are going to continue to eat up large quantities of maintenance funds as these recurring issues that the renovations will not account for continue to be a problem. And we need to rebuild all four of these high schools.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're the most passionate parent advocate that I've ever seen. You've been here before us a number of times. I'm sure they love to have you at the Baltimore County Board of Ed meetings, and I appreciate you trying to keep everybody honest. But it's great input, and I just want to thank you, for caring and for coming with all this information. It's great suggestions for us and for the IC, and thank you for caring enough as a parent. Yeah. And no notes. And she got up there and talked about every school and every problem.
I had a couple bullet points. But, I mean, I'm on my Facebook group, this BCPS Parents and Teachers for Equitable Facilities and Portable AC, every day. And parents talk to me, and teachers message me things, usually with the first line being, please don't release my name, because they're terrified. BCPS Public Schools has almost a cult-like atmosphere for having conversations about anything. And so
make sure our guys escort you on the way out so you don't have to.
That's all right.
I think they all left.
It's important for people to be able to talk about things, and I appreciate the fact that you're willing to allow that and to listen.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Lily Rowe because I agree with the governor. I think she's a passionate and very intelligent and articulate observer, and the data backs you up, Ms. Rowe. In 3 fiscal years of inspections by the IAC of the 162 schools in Baltimore County, one inspection got a superior rating. 3 fiscal years.
That's appalling.
And so I share your concern about the ability of the school system to do what it's saying it's going to do as far as, for example, the air conditioning issue and the fact that some of the units that are put in may or may not be functioning. I have great skepticism as to whether they're going to even begin to accomplish what they've articulated. And then this second issue, which is very important to Delaney and other schools, of whether we're rushing for political purposes, rushing forward with $20, $30, $40 million renovations of schools that should be torn down and replaced is a compelling issue, because it implies that the whole county system is just governed by, I don't know what, but it certainly isn't the kind of management and administration of the taxpayers' dollars that makes sense if we're rushing to spend tens of millions of dollars on renovations simply to say, oh, we covered that.
May I ask, was the superior rating on one of the brand new schools?
I have no idea.
It's very easy
it. Maybe,
to call
my assistant
a brand new school
has it there, but that's the reality of, you know, the administration of this issue of, are we taking care of the facilities we have? And to go up and walk through Dundalk, Yara Sheikh, thank you for coming down and raising the issue of Delaney. I mean, it is a nightmare to walk through that school and right now and say anybody has their kid in that school or any elected official in that county permitted that school to get into that condition. I mean, it is just a raging, irresponsible illustration of what I believe government should be doing, which is taking care of what it has. And the fact that that school has been allowed to get into the condition it has with, you know the many, many things. Yara, I'd hate to get you going on what the problems with the school are, but it's far beyond what any reasonable person would say, oh, let's just do a renovation.
I think that some of the conditions of our schools, given the wealth of our county and the assistance from the state that we get, does warrant institutionalized child abuse. Because some of these schools, I mean, like, it's a hazard if you can't plug something into a wall without a potential outlet player.
All right, Linda, thank you very much for joining us. But we've got three more schools. We're behind schedule. We've got three more before anybody's lunch. So I see people starting to fade out there in the audience. But thank you again for coming down. We're going to move on to Calvert County.
Treasurer Kopp, Governor Hogan, Comptroller Francho, my name is Dan Curry. I'm school superintendent for Calvert County Schools, and we will try to get you to lunch more quickly. I want to bring you greetings from the Calvert County Board of Education and the faculty and staff there, especially Comptroller Francho from Mutual Elementary. They very much welcomed your visit of last month and the awarding of the Silver Hammer Award. And Governor Hogan, the folks from Mount Harmony Elementary really enjoyed your visit in November. We appreciate that. We appreciate the opportunity to appear before you to discuss our CIP request for FY18. The level of support you've provided in the past has been truly appreciated. Our appeal today concerns the second year of funding for Northern High School replacement project. You may recall this project was originally bid in 2015 and the bids were rejected as construction costs were beyond our budget. As a result, we reevaluated the project and the scope and went through various cost containment exercises so the new school could be aligned more closely with the overall budget. And we were successful this summer with the Northern High School replacement project and awarded a bid in July, and we are currently under construction. So this brings me to our appeal today. We are respectfully requesting the $6,575,000 balance of the total requested allocation of $14,575,000 in state funds. To date, the recommendations from the IAC total $8 million. The funds requested today are critical to the continuation of the project and represent a minimum allocations required to do so to stay on schedule next fiscal year. The total construction budget for this project is $71 million with $34.2 million in state funds. The funding is being requested over a four-year cycle of a multi-phase construction replacement. We take very seriously the enormous task before the IAC and the Board of Public Works in allocating funding for public schools in Calvert County. We take great pride in being good stewards of the schools that you have helped us build. Our buildings consistently rank among the highest in Maryland. On state building inspections with an average score of 91.4, those inspected in 2016, and even Northern High School that we are about to replace scored an 89.69 in 2016, which is a strong indicator of our commitment to maintaining our buildings at the highest possible level. We appreciate your consideration.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for joining us, and I want to congratulate you. I'm going to beat the comptroller to the punch because normally he's the maintenance guru, and he's done a great job getting everyone focused on that. But, you know, you have I want to congratulate you because you've consistently, over and over again, continually got excellent
maintenance reports on all of your facilities, and it's a good example for some other school systems, and I want to congratulate you on that.
Thank you.
I don't have any other questions. I think you
this is
a good one.
I think it's absolutely appropriate what the governor said, because we just had Baltimore County, 162 schools. You have 26 schools. Big difference. Same three-year period. Inspections made by the IAC. Baltimore County, one school rated superior. Colvick County, four schools rated superior out of 26. So congratulations. God bless you. Keep up the great work. And you're exactly what, frankly, I think most Marylanders want to see, which is a responsible oversight of public resources. And thank you for taking good care of what we
appreciate that. We have a lot of support from our county commissioners, from our delegates, and from our maintenance folks in particular. They own those buildings. That's their house.
Yeah.
They take care of
it. I'll tell them all we said congratulations. We appreciate their efforts. Thank you. Next, we have Caroline County. I see we've got the leaders of the county. We've got some folks from the school system. Happy to have you.
Strictly as possible. So good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Treasurer Kopp, and Comptroller Franco, and Dr. Salmon, our state superintendent, and the other committee members. I'm Patty Salins, interim superintendent for Caroline County, and with me today I have Mr. Milton Nagel, assistant superintendent of schools for administrative services, and he's here to answer any technical questions. And we also have Mr. Larry Porter, who's one of our Caroline County commissioners. And he's honestly here in support of our county's commitment to our capital projects. We are here today requesting full funding for the roof replacement of Colonel Richardson High School. The first page of your handout that you have that we provided for you is documentation of the history of that roof. The state participation for this project is $1,606,000. We believe that pictures tells us 1,000 words there. So on the back of your first page, you'll see that we have the current roof, the patches that we've done to preserve the structure and the ongoing cracking issues that we've had with that roof. We also have an independent roof study prepared by Grandland Roofing Supports, and this report supported the need for this project. So if you have any questions about the actual project itself.
Commissioner, you have anything you want to add? Thank you for coming down.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to come across the bridge, although I don't stay over here very long. But we
at least grab some lunch or something.
We may. I just wanted to mention the bedrock of our relationship or our governing is our relationship with our Board of Education. We're local people. We know each other. We work together. We certainly appreciate the effort for you to keep our feet to the fire when it comes to maintenance. I know we got the Silver Hammer Award. Comptroller came over. We appreciate that visit. I think our names are still on the beam at Preston Elementary School where we got raised up on the truck there. But
Getting presented the Silver Hammer from the comptroller is much better. Occasionally, some schools didn't get beaten with it.
Well, we made them put it away so they couldn't use it on us. But we appreciate it and look forward to having you come over and see us. It's always a great pleasure for you to come to to Caroline County. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Governor, may I make a comment, Governor?
Sorry.
May I make a
Absolutely.
Comment?
Absolutely,
yeah. I just wanted to say that I have special affection for this project because I started teaching at Colonel Richardson 41 years ago and spent 5 wonderful years there, and it's a great building. I had a chance to go back and visit it since. Although my classroom is now a bank of lockers,
I
still think the other renovations were very wonderful, and so I hope that we can support that project.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I didn't realize, Doctor, that you had started teaching at the age of 4. But
thank you, Governor.
Yeah, but
that's incredible.
I want to just recognize Assistant Superintendent Nagel for his resourcefulness and the ingenuity, really, that he showed at Federalsburg Elementary School. I had the opportunity to see that project firsthand in October, as the commissioner said, when I was presenting the Silver Hammer Award. But what I was particularly interested in was that for $2,300 per classroom, Mr. Nagel had supervised putting in units to provide not just cooling, but also heating and also humidity control. And that included $1,400 for the price of the product, which is very sophisticated equipment, and $750 for some electrical contractor to put it in. But the reason I thought these things were, other than their low cost, were so impressive is that teachers love the system. Even more than a traditional box air conditioning unit, they love these new high-quality split units because each unit can be programmed independently. The units are quieter than the existing HVAC system. And I just hope that other school systems, obviously it's not immediately exportable perhaps from Caroline County, but I hope that the other systems that need from time to time some interim heating or cooling, particularly Baltimore City and Baltimore County, will come over and look at what you've done, because there's no reason that this problem that we associated with the other two counties can't be fixed literally in a matter of a couple of months. And I know we're making some progress on it. I appreciate Baltimore City, Baltimore County, we'll see. But Caroline County's leading the way. Thank Congratulations.
You. Thank you all very much.
Can I just add a personal note that I had forgotten until the superintendent mentioned it? But some point in the 1975 to 79 legislative term, and I don't remember when it was exactly, the House Appropriations Committee, under the leadership of John Hargraves, a citizen of Caroline County and a great spokesman for Caroline County, marched the entire Appropriations Committee over to this high school.
Wow.
Just as an example of what was going on in Caroline. He, of course, took all responsibility for it.
Doing well, he hollered at me a lot of times.
Could I just get you to send to the superintendent the information about the heating and cooling? Because, I mean, it's just, I love these other jurisdictions, but you guys and Anne Arundel really have shown the way forward. And, Madam Superintendent, if you could help us, because the kids need immediate relief.
Absolutely.
I'm probably beginning to sound like
I look
like
forward
Johnny
to getting
Bundle
the information here and sharing it with the other superintendents.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
And I don't want to make myself seem too young, but I was still in school back then when you took that trip over there with the committee. So
I was there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you coming. Now, last but not least, before we take a break, we have Carroll County. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Governor Hogan, Comptroller Francho, Treasurer Kopp, it's good to see you all again. I simply have four roofing replacement projects that I'm asking your support for. The IEC has recommended full funding for two of them, which is Carrolltown and Runnymede, partial funding for Robert Moten. And I would hope that you would allocate the funds we need to replace the roof at Elmer Wolf Elementary School. All the projects are similar, so I'll just talk to them about them in group. They're all roofs that have outlived their useful life. They need to be replaced. We're going to replace them with multiple ply roofs, which have a 25-year guarantee is what we're looking for. They've reached beyond the point of repair. We're getting water into the building, which, of course, as you know, causes indoor air qualities. Those are my capital requests.
Any questions on the request from Carroll County?
No, just one quick one. What are you doing with the three schools you closed? Can you give us an update on the facilities and how the county might be planning or actually utilizing them?
Two of those schools have been turned back to the county, North Carroll High School and Charles Carroll. The county is currently engaging with the community on the disposition of those schools. They have had several public hearings, have garnered input from the counties. They have not made any decisions yet, but they are certainly out there and at the request that we be a part of it. In fact, tomorrow I have a joint work session with commissioners to discuss one of those schools, North Carroll High School.
Okay, and the four roof replacement projects, you're getting, I'm sorry, how long did you say the warranties are on the replacement?
It's 25 years.
25 years, good. And then my question of protecting kids that are innocently here and may not have been born in the United States, but were brought here as, once again, children without documents. What is Carroll County's approach to this issue? Not that it's a major one, but perhaps. I don't really know what your population's made up of, right, in some of the schools. But
thankfully, nothing has been reported to me. We have no incidents or issues with any of that. So it's not been an issue at all in Carroll County.
Thank you.
I just want to make a comment that your last maintenance report was pretty good, in spite of the fact that you have shrinking maintenance budgets, so you've been able to somehow do a pretty good job with
less
resources.
Thank you, Governor. One of those schools that received a good rating was built in 1938 during the Roosevelt Job Corps project. So we're very happy with that
pretty
report.
Good.
And, again, the credit goes to my maintenance and operations staff, who's doing an outstanding job with our
schools. Well, congratulate them for us.
Thank you.
Can I just ask a question about the water situation, the lead, and the kitchens?
Yeah.
These things you found because you did a separate inspection? How was
yes,
this discovered?
I'm happy to talk about that. We wanted to be proactive. As you know, the state only requires water testing on schools with well, of which we only have five. I made the decision with the support of my Board of Education to test all 5,000 or so water fountains across the system to make sure that my staff and my students were getting good, clean water and safe water. 99% of those water fountains tested within the limits set by the EPA, the recommended limits set by the EPA. The 12 or so that we found that were above in lead, we took out of service right away. So this is something we did exceeding the standards that were required.
That's what it looked like. That's very impressive.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We're going to take a very short break for lunch. We will take it back up at 1:30 with Cecil County being next up.